Blog Talk Radio.
You did not wait for me to draw nigh to you, but you clothed yourself in frail humanity. Did not wait for me to cry out to you, but you let me hear your voice calling me.
Welcome. Thank you for tuning in today. I hope everyone had a great weekend. Please call someone, text someone, and let them know I'm on the air. This is your host, Evangelist Benton, and you're listening to Victory Against All Odds right here on blogtalkradio.com, a radio talk show for where families can come and talk about their struggles and obstacles that families face as it relates to child abuse, depression, domestic violence, substance abuse, suicide, and sexual abuse. So let's talk. My email address is odds_against_U@yahoo.com. Please email me if you have questions. My chat room is open today, so please log in if you're at a computer or if you are just listening. That is fine, too. I am excited today. Today is, well, October is Domestic Violence Month, and today I have a special guest here to talk about domestic violence. We've talked about domestic violence in the past. We talked about the domestic violence being defined as a pattern of behavior in a relationship that is used to gain or maintain power and control over an intimate partner. Usually it's in the form of physical, sexual, emotional, it could be economical or psychological actions or threats of actions that influences another person. This includes any behavior that frightens, intimidates, terrorizes, manipulates, hurts, humiliates, blames, injures, or wounds someone else. Today, I have a special guest, Officer and Pastor Ricky Brown out of Tampa, Florida. And just to give you a little bit of background, just before we bring him on the air, Officer Brown was born and raised in Chicago. He was abandoned at the age of 6 months by his biological mother. He was raised in a foster home for 13 years. At the age of 13, his foster mother died, and then he had to go back to live with his family, where he experienced numerous situations of abusive relationships with his mother and his father as well. At the age of 14, his mother told him that she hated him, and Also, he had some experiences with his father as well. He was put out of his home on more than one occasion by his mother. And then again, he was put out of his home by his aunt because of her boyfriend. So after just experiencing lots of different types of what I would call abandonment, he decided to go to the military, where he received Christ on a naval vessel. He spent 4 years in the Navy, and then after he got out of the Navy, he decided to pursue a career in law enforcement. He's been in law enforcement for over 20 years. He has his master's degree, and he is currently working on another one. And then in 1997, he was called to preach the gospel, and he stepped into his pastoral role in 2004. I would like to welcome Pastor Officer Ricky Brown. Hello, man of God.
How are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you for joining me today.
Welcome.
As we talk about domestic violence, certainly in your line of work, you see frontline about domestic violence. So I wanted to, again, thank you for joining me and taking up your time to do so.
Yes, no problem.
I wanted to talk about and ask you a few questions about domestic violence. And as an officer in your area, what does that look like on the street? What is your perspective? How bad is it?
Well, one of the things, I've been in law enforcement for, like you said, 20 years, and I've worked predominantly Afro-American community, and domestic violence has progressed for the worst and hasn't gotten any better. You know, even with all the implemented money that's been put out through the government and all the things that we try to encourage the victim to do in this domestic violence area, it still has gotten just worse. I mean, just worse. And I see it getting younger and younger each day. We had a case one time, I can remember a couple of years back, where it was a 16-year-old who had a baby by an 18-year-old young man, and she called us, and he had beat her. And when I got on the call on the scene, she refuses to press charges. So this is just, this is an ongoing problem that I see every day.
Wow, because that was one of my next questions I was going to ask you is what some of the problems are in terms of women who are out there hurting. Do you see that they are hesitant to file a report or to even pick up the phone? By the time they get to you, I take it that things have already happened. But in moving forward from that point, do you find that they are still apprehensive to press charges? How does that look in your eye?
Yeah, we find most times, not a vast majority of times, but we do find a lot of cases where they won't call the police. What happens is you have a neighbor who sees the violence taking place, and they would call. You have a relative. You have a child pick up the phone and dial 911 when he sees a violent situation going on in the house. And then when we get there, sometimes the lady won't say nothing or press charges or do anything. She just said nothing happened. But, the evidence speaks for itself.
Right. I understand. So I know even though the holiday is coming up, the holiday that celebrate called Halloween. I don't necessarily celebrate Halloween, but it is an official holiday. Do you find that during the holiday months, because Thanksgiving and Christmas is also coming, that it's more stressful than any other time? Does holiday seem to be an increase?
Yes, we definitely have an increase. And it's funny you say that. I didn't really think that, people really – acknowledge that, but yes, we have an increase during that time of the year, and I noticed that a lot, so an increase in domestic violence.
Wow, because when you look at the news, especially around Christmas time, holiday time, it just seems like there is an increase in violence, period. But domestic violence seems to take center stage, if you will.
Yeah.
I wanted to switch gears here. And as a pastor in the community, ask you pretty much the same question. Do you see domestic violence hiding in the church?
Oh, yeah. And yes. Go ahead. Okay. Yeah, I definitely see it in the church. You know, it's funny you mentioned that. We were speaking once before. I see pastors engaged in domestic violence. Pastors have been arrested for it. You know, as well as even police officers, you know, but I see it as a big issue in the church with the pastors. You pull up their records and they have a lot of abusive relationships towards their wives. Yes, it's definitely a problem. Definitely a problem.
Okay. Because I have, over the years, have seen that as well. In leadership, I am in North Carolina, and there was a big case where one of my pastor associate friends that I did know, they were pretty well known in their community, and sad story, his wife one particular morning didn't show up for church, and he told his congregation that she was home with a toothache. And so that would have been on a Sunday morning. And turns out by that Tuesday, that Monday, they found her in the trunk of her car. Now, first of all, she drove a convertible Sebring, and her license plate was personalized. So he parked the car in a public parking lot, like Walmart or something. I don't remember the exact parking lot, but it was a business parking lot where it stands out like a sore thumb. And he killed her. He killed her. Mm-hmm. And it was just such a sad story because nobody knew. Nobody.
Right.
And so my question to you is, what are you saying as a pastor to the body concerning domestic violence? And should concerned as a body of believers?
Oh, most definitely, most definitely. One of the things that, and I go back, I'm a very old school type of person, a pastor. I mean, I have three daughters, and one of the things I've done, you know, my job, the irrational side that I see on my job, I bring rationalization home to them, and I talk to them about the things that that I see and I don't want them to engage in. Well, you know, coming up in a foster home, I was raised by a foster mother who was a mother of a church, and, you know, coming up in the 70s and 80s, that was just the old school way. This is how you did it. You respect your elders. And one of the things, when I met my wife, I had to go to her father, and what I'm getting to, I had to be introduced to her father before I can ask to, you know, date the daughter, marry the daughter. And the father can get a good perspective of the man. And one of the things in the body of Christ that we have gotten away from that. We have gotten away from our young ladies having bringing the young man home to the dad, where the dad can make a good assessment of that young man. And
yeah,
we have gotten away from the young ladies looking at good qualities, looking at a man of God that's been a man of God, you know, in reality. That's one of the things we have gotten away from. And yes, the body of Christ definitely have a need to be concerned about it, because, like you said, it's starting from the leadership. It goes to, I've been on calls where I've seen deacons have a girlfriend in the house, but his wife lives across the street. And, I mean, just, I've seen it all. I've learned from it. It's nothing I haven't seen, pretty much.
Wow, It is very much a concern, and that's one of the reasons why we are talking about this, because it does need to be talked about. And as an advocate against domestic violence, and also having had experienced domestic violence myself, definitely want to bring this to the forefront so that people will begin to speak up and speak out, not only of all races, because we know that domestic violence can happen to anybody, any race, age, any sexual orientation, any religion, or any gender, and it can happen to married couples. It can happen to folks who are living together and dating. It affects people of all socioeconomic backgrounds and educational levels. So we know that it is not necessarily one or the other. But do you see in the streets one particular race over another, or do you see where there's the opposite, where women are abusing? Have you ever had that experience where it's the woman that's being arrested?
Yes, I've to the first part of the question you asked, it's at all, the devil don't care how you operate. It doesn't matter what color you are, who you are, what ethnic group you are. It's in all races. I've arrested in every race when it comes to domestic violence. And, yes, it's definitely prevalent in all cultures, like you said. And what was the next part of your question? What was the next part of your question?
I was just asking if that is something that, in reference to women, do you see women being arrested as
well? I've arrested women as well, but a lot of times when you get ready to put the woman in handcuffs, the guy have a fit. You know, we get on calls, and I've seen the reverse dissect itself when they get on a call. You can see where the guy gets scratched up and punched in the face, get a ball upside the head. Then she'll come out crying, saying he hit me, but the evidence is different, and that's been a prudent law enforcement officer experience I have over the years. Of course, she went to jail, but a lot of times, like I said, men, there's something about the pride of a man and the machoism of a man where he don't want his wife to go to jail, and we do have a lot more cases where women are the abusers against the man. That's not reported, but not as much as the man against the woman.
I can understand, and that makes plenty of sense. I can see that being underreported. I was reading your bio in reference to being in the military, because, as you know, domestic violence has really gone sky high in the military community because of returning soldiers back into the domesticated world after being gone for so long. And so for a minute there was just a really big spike in domestic violence in the home after soldiers have been returned. And that's probably because they had not been adjusted back into society. Did you experience any of that while you were in the military?
Yes, well, when I was in the military, I think I was I was active duty from 86 to 90, and we had a lot of cases of domestic violence. And one of the reasons is because when we go out for a period of time on the ship, we leave the women behind, and they would pick up, they would have affairs, and the guys would hear about the affairs and come back, and that's when the domestic violence occurred. I mean, it was even back then and even way before then. Now I really don't keep in contact with a lot of military guys or deal with the military, but I do know that even when I was in, it was a bad case of domestic violence in the service. But it was more of an infidelity thing, I think, when I was in. Because I remember I wasn't saved back then in the first part of my military career. I was doing everything that all the other guys was doing. And we would be glad when guys, other ships would go out to sea, because when they went out to sea, we did what we did with the women. The wives, it didn't matter who it was. I mean, it was a sad case when I think about it, but that's what happened.
Wow. I didn't even think about it from that perspective, but, yeah, you're right. So what tools or suggestions or resources do you have as an officer for anyone that might be experiencing domestic violence, as well as, in addition to that, as well as a pastor, I have spent a lot of time talking about different types of resources that survivors can use to help them with domestic violence and how to get out, how to keep themselves safe. Do you have anything to bring to the table today?
Yes, this is Chris. A lot of times when I go on domestic violence calls, like Darianne, my last week I had a couple where I find myself, we have this thing where somebody's going to come out. I find myself going on these domestic violence calls, and each one is different in every case. You know, I just believe if a person has Christ in the center of their marriage will be okay. A lot of us say we do that, but in reality we don't handle the hard times and the hardships that come because, you know, as you know, marriage is not easy, even as being Christians. You know, you always have differences. And I find myself ministering to families a lot of times, and I see how the women are manipulated by the guys that they're involved with. And what hurts me the most is to see a woman working 2 and 3 jobs and a man is doing nothing, and when she comes home, all he wants to do is manipulate her mind by, you know, committing some type of violence act, something like that. But we have resources in Florida. As a matter of fact, in Florida, I'm pretty sure it's nationwide. Even if the woman don't want to press charges, we do it anyway. We take the case up and we automatically do what they call a direct file to the state attorney.
Uh-huh.
And that's one of the things we automatically. There is no going to a domestic violence call and saying he didn't hit me or he never did it and that's it. No, we take that case up ourselves and we go find the guy. We go find him, whichever part it is. But we do have resources here. I always give the young lady the resource. We have what they call the Florida Family Law Center, and they have a lot of great resources. I always pass these pamphlets out to them about how they can help you get on your feet. They even sometimes pay the first couple of months of rent for them and, you know, give them clothes and help them get a job and a restraining order of that nature. But, yes, a lot of times one of the resources of a pastor I recommend is that, you know, sometimes it can be too far in it, but I like to be proactive instead of reactive. And what I mean by that, you got to be careful and look at the background of an individual that you're dealing with.
Uh-huh.
So you got to look at the background of that individual. You have to know the fruits of that individual. Don't just because a man says he's a pastor, and a young lady says a lot of our women, they get caught up, oh, he's a pastor, he's single, he got this going on and that going on. But you have to understand, you got to look at the background of that individual. You have to, because if he's been in several different relationships, if he's married 4 or 5 times and he's been divorced, and you find out that he's been violent to them, what makes you think he's not going to be violent with you? So that's one of the resources that I talk about. Always look at the individual first before you get involved with them. But there are other programs in the state of Florida, you know, and I'm pretty sure, like I said, it's everywhere, nationwide. There are resources. You just got to research the resources to get away. You know, we have shelters for our victims too. So,
do you find that the restraining orders are used? And if they are, do you after a woman has taken out a restraining order, do you feel like that the law enforcement community is proactive in making sure that, you know, that the defender or the perpetrator, I should say, follows those guidelines, or do you feel like the police, law enforcement, ignore those calls, or if the victim is even making those phone calls after the restraining order is in place?
Well, one of the things, see, in there again, in the state of Florida, I can only speak for the state of Florida.
Right.
We have policies and procedures and regulations in place where there is no such thing as ignoring. See, domestic violence is one of the top issues that's prevalent all over America. And
yes,
our laws and our statutes and our procedures and our policies with our agency, there is no such thing as ignoring. You have to... if the individual's not around, you can't find them, you put a warrant on, you go find them. you file what they call, direct file charges if he violated. But there again, too, you have to look at your person that has the restraining order out on them. Sometimes they violate their own restraining order by letting the individual come back. But then when they get mad at the individual and the individual start committing a violent act against them, they want to call and say he violated his restraining order.
Right.
So it works two ways.
Yeah.
But we don't, but as far as ignoring restraining order, most agencies in the state of Florida, you have to, once they call and say this individual violated this restraining order, yes, we take up action right there. There is no ignoring that at all.
And I agree. I definitely agree. I have given them lots of tools. And for my listeners, I also want to give you the National Domestic Hotline. If you get a pen and a piece of paper, I will say it again at the end. But the National Domestic Violence Hotline number is 1-800-799-7233. That's 1-800-799-SAFE, S-A-F-E. And I wanted to give you that, and I want to remind the listeners to develop a plan for safety, find your local shelter in your area, pick up the phone and call someone or call the police if you feel threatened. One of the things that I've told my listeners that may be in the midst and they are afraid and they don't know what to do, I told them to write a note to a friend and seal it in an envelope and give it to her or him and tell them if something happens to them, well, they turn up missing, to give it to the police. Those are one of the practical tools that I have given my listeners or anyone that may be in a situation where they are just absolutely terrified, because one of the things we talked about is power. You know, that domestic violence is all about, you know, manipulation and taking someone's power away. And so what I've done is I've given them tools to help them. And so writing a note and telling a friend is one of those strategic tools that I have given anyone that may need that tool, and told them to give it to the police if they show up missing, you know, that so that if something happens to them, there is a voice,
right,
you know, coming from somewhere, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You've been keeping this thing a secret. Don't nobody know. You're trying to cover up, you know, the bruises and the scars. You're putting on a mask, you know, trying to smile through your pain. So I have given them that particular tool to use. If they come up missing, get a friend, give it and tell them to take it to the police. You can't find them. You don't know where they are. People looking for them, take that note, seal to the police. Give them something to work with. Let them know something happened to you.
Man, you're right. That's right. You know, I just wanted to say something. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I just, you know, and one of the things I noticed too, how progressively the abusers have gotten here in the state of Florida. I mean, if you do a research, you'll see it. I tell these women, you know, these guys are not just beating y'all no more; they're killing y'all. We have several cases where they're actually shooting at the women now. And some of them have missed and some haven't missed. I mean, we had a case about 5 years ago where she had a restraining order, and she had his baby in her hands, but he broke into the house and shot him, killed him. You know, so it's definitely, there's nothing to play with. And they do have, you know, as well as I mentioned, that they have women help groups out there that you can get. There's a lot of help out there, but you got to want the help and you got to want to come out of the situation.
Yeah, that is exactly right. I have some live callers. I'm not sure if they want to ask a question. I'm not revealing names. So I wanted to go to the line, see if they had a comment, a question, or a concern. Hold on just a moment.
Okay.
Yes, caller 3656, you're on the air. You have a question, comment, or concern? Three, 3656, last four digits of your phone number. You have a question, comment, or concern?
No, I do not.
You just want to listen?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Okay. But yeah, that those are some of the tools that I had given some of the believers. I have a few statistics here, at least in the state of North Carolina. Thus far, since January 1, as of last month, we've had 54 murders due to domestic violence in the state of North Carolina.
Wow, that's a high number.
Yes, yes, already. I think that's close to what we had last year already. And as we talk about Domestic Violence Awareness Month, I want to just, you know, say to my listeners that all of this kind of came about October of 87. The first Domestic Violence Awareness Month was observed. Originally, it evolved back in October of 1981 by the National Coalition Against Domestic Violence. And, of course, their intent was to connect battered women's advocates across the nation who were working to end violence against women and their children. And so in 87, that was the first Domestic Violence Awareness Month that was observed. In that same year, the first National Toll-Free Hotline also begun, which I just gave you. And then in 1989, the first Domestic Violence Awareness Month commemorative legislation was passed by the U.S. Congress. And so, therefore, we have Domestic Violence Awareness Month. I just wanted to pass that along to some of our viewers, and I wanted to give a few facts about domestic violence. Domestic violence is, of course, the leading cause of injury to women between the ages of 15 and 44 in the United States, which is more than car accidents and muggings and rapes combined.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There are over 1,500 shelters for battered women in the United States, and there are 3,800 animal shelters. So just looking at that tells me something is out of order, that we care more about animals than we do humans, women, children, men.
Wow.
3 to 4 million women in the United States have been beaten in their homes each year by their husbands, their ex-husbands, or a male lover. One woman is beaten by her husband or partner every 15 seconds in the United States. How often do you get those calls?
As far as the actual beatings?
Yes. How often is this one woman is beaten by her husband or partner every 15 seconds in the United States? That is very alarming. Every 15
seconds. Say again, I didn't hear you say again.
I said every 15 seconds across the United States. That is very alarming.
It is. You know, I wanted to add, too, that the last time I checked the statistic is you got, if I remember correctly, it was for every four women in America that's beaten by their spouse or lover, one of them get killed. So that's an alarming rate, too, and that's been a while back since I checked that statistic, but you gave me some big statistics, and that's very alarming.
Well, I know that, one in every four women will experience domestic violence in their lifetime.
Right.
Definitely. They said 85% of domestic violence victims are women.
That's right.
And police report that between 40 and 60% of the calls they receive, especially on the night shift, you work the night shift, if I remember correctly, are domestic violence disputes.
Yes, I work the midnight shift. Yes, we do. We get a lot of domestic calls. As a matter of fact, I got one late the other night, about 2 in the morning. 2 in the morning, they out there fighting and drinking, beat her up, you know, and Of course, you go to jail, you know. But that's what we get them all the time, all the time, all the time.
Wow. I know you talked about in your bio that you were abandoned at the age of 6 months by your biological mother. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, there were various series of incidents. And that you also yourself witnessed your mother in numerous abusive relationships.
Mm-hmm.
One of the statistics is that many batterers learn violence behavior growing up in abusive families.
Yes, yes, and you see it. You see, the other night we had a situation like that where the dad called the mother, you know, he called her a name, and the son called the mother the same thing. And you find this going back from, you know, there again, generation to generation, daddy to son, son to daddy, you know, and that's the cases that we're dealing with now. You know, the sons come up abusive because their dad, they saw it in the home. In my mother's case, believe it or not, she was the actual abuser. I mean, she would fight a man until he couldn't take it no more.
Wow.
She was actually, I've seen her. I mean, I've literally seen her fight men toe to toe. And I think she got that from her mother, from my understanding. I mean, she loved to fight. That was the problem she had, you know, and I've seen it several times.
Wow. And we just talked about that, you know. We don't, women being the ones that doing the abusing versus men.
Right.
I work in a campus community, and one of the things that we also have talked about is the gay lesbian community as well, because people don't want to talk about that, but it is what it is, and they also experience domestic violence within the community of gay lesbian.
We've had false messages. Yeah.
Do you see a whole lot of that?
Oh, yes, most definitely. We get a lot of calls, and we treat them just like we would the traditional couple, just like the aggressor goes to jail.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. No different.
And the other thing is that domestic violence sometimes, I know we talk about, you know, telling women and some men that they need to get out of the situation, but one of the statistics is that over 70% of the women injured in domestic violence cases are injured after they separate.
Right. Yes, yes, yes. Seeing that, yes.
So this is definitely something that
right.
we want to bring attention to remind America, or remind people, men, women, children, you know, that we are not to turn our heads, that we must talk about domestic violence, we must recognize it for what it is, and we must report.
Got to be reported.
Yes.
See, one of the things, too, is that, there again, the victim don't, not all the time, they won't report it. They won't report it because one of the things we learned that if he's the breadwinner, they don't want him to go to jail and lose his job, you know. But unfortunately, if he hits you once, he's going to hit you again.
Uh-huh.
And they promise never to do that. We've seen that several times. They promise never to do that. But they always do it again. And it gets progressively worse. It never stays the hit on the arm. It goes into the face. You start punching. You start hitting with whatever is around, you know. I think the physical part is probably, it does a lot of hurt, but I think emotionally the name calling does a lot of hurt too. You know, it does a lot of destroying of the individual, especially when the kid, and I always say the kids are the victims also, so they see this, and it's a bad thing to see.
It is a bad thing to see. And then, of course, you know, you can't leave the children out.
Right.
Children witness violence at homes, display emotional and behavioral disturbances as withdrawal, low self-esteem, nightmares, self-blaming, and aggressiveness against their peers, family members, and property. So a lot of times when you see children acting out, it's because something's going on wrong in the home, and they may not necessarily be old enough and mature enough to verbalize that which they feel and or see.
Mm-hmm, right,
so they act
right,
out.
Right, exactly. I see a lot of that.
One of the other statistics that we don't often talk about is how much this costs. The cost of intimate partner violence exceeds $5.8 billion each year, and $4.1 billion of which is for direct medical and mental health services.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of money.
It is. It is. And it's not going to get any lower. It's going to keep getting higher because the cases are getting worse. And they're getting younger. And I said at the beginning, they're getting younger. They're getting young and younger.
Yes, it is. And, of course, when you talk about that, you've got to talk about the socioeconomic impact that that has. So victims of intimate partner violence lost almost 8 million days of paid work because of the violence perpetrated against them by current or former husbands, boyfriends, and dates. And this loss is the equivalent of more than 32,000 full-time jobs and almost 5.6 million days of household productivity as a result of violence. That
right.
is an
wow.
alarming number.
It is. Wow. Astronomical. That's wow, that's amazing right there.
So,
wow.
I mean, as we're talking about the ripple effect that domestic violence has in the community, you know, all over the place. So it's not just behind closed doors. It spreads abroad. It's outside. It impacts, you know, the neighborhood. It impacts the healthcare system. It impacts the workforce system. So it's a chain reaction. It just doesn't start, you know, or stop right there with the two individuals or three individuals involved.
Right, right. And you know, it's in every profession, too. I see police officers get arrested, lawyers, judges, doctors. I mean, in every profession. It doesn't matter who you are or what you are.
Wow. That is, that these numbers are just blowing me away. This is why it is necessary that we do this. And as we move forward in talking about domestic violence, we definitely need to take a stand and put more programs and events in place so that we can continue to do what is necessary to not only talk about it, but put actions, events, and use tools to prevent domestic violence all over the place.
I think one of the things, you know, we can implement billions more in programs, and I mean that's good, but in my profession, the irrationalization that I see when the individual, the victim, got to want to stay away from them. I'm telling you, I've seen it over and over again. I had a lady a couple of months ago. I mean, it was just a mess. And the first thing that came out of my mouth to me is, why y'all don't do nothing? Well, we done did. Every time you call us, we do something, but you wind up going back to them.
Right.
We do something
exactly.
Every time. We do what we have. See, there's a twofold part to this. We do our job, and then you got to do your job.
That's right.
You can't play tug of war. You have to do your part, too. And if you notice, I don't know the statistic on this, but if you notice, a lot of the women do return back to the man that beat them.
Yeah.
They violate the restraining order. They return back. I've seen that several times, too.
Yeah. Well,
so
I'm getting ready to go off the air, but I wanted to thank you. I want to thank you for tuning in with me today and coming on and just talking about it. We definitely will have to join together and do what we need to do and do our